want to remind everybody that the first Supernatural Money Coming to You conference is going to be here in Baton Rouge at Pastor Cowan's church. Everybody's aware of that, right?
Yes, sir.
So I expect to see everybody there. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's coming up this Thursday and Friday. In Baton Rouge, yes. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice, Lord God, and be glad in it. We're going to show forth the praises of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, as we get into your word, Lord God, and get into this teaching, we thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you, Lord God, that you reveal your word unto us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the apostolic covering that is on this ministry. We thank you for the Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. And we thank you that as we partake of that anointing, Lord God, we'll receive everything that God has for us. And Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your precious Holy Spirit. If he doesn't show up, Lord, you know I'll fall flat on my face, and I yield completely and totally unto him, Lord God, and I just walk humbly before you and before my man of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, last week we began to talk about ways of building honor. How to build honor. We're going to continue for the next two class sessions. We're going to be talking about how to build honor. And I think that's like around page 90, 91, 92 in your books. So if you want to kind of read that particular section, that's where we're going to be pulling from in these next two sessions. And what I want to do, I'm going to go over. We talked about last week wisdom, and we got a little bit into humility, but we're going to go for and continue to go back and talk about those a little bit more, and then we're going to move forward. Okay, so in today's teaching, we're going to look at the subject, as I said, of building honor. Sometimes a ministry will disqualify themselves because they are untrained or they're not knowledgeable about the fact how it's so very important that they need to walk in honor. They'll discredit their ministry by saying things against or negative things towards a ministry or a man of God, not realizing that the very words that they speak is causing a crippling effect to their personal ministry. As I stated in the last week and several weeks in the past, you know, one of the things you never want to do is you never want to put your mouth on a man or a woman of God. You always want to speak positively. And if you don't understand anything, pray in the Holy Spirit and ask God to give you wisdom. But you want to keep your mouth off God's men and women. And it says, unfortunately, there are many prominent young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature. Sometimes, as I stated earlier, even untrained. They don't understand what spiritual protocol is. And spiritual protocol has to do with how to properly show respect to spiritual leaders and dignitaries who have rank in ministry. Just like in the military, and we stated earlier, you have rank. You have different people who have different ranks and positions in military. You have a sergeant, you have a staff sergeant, you have a master sergeant, you have corporals, you have lieutenants, you got captains, you got majors, then you got lieutenants, different ranks in your generals. You got a lieutenant general, you got a major general, you know, you got a brigadier general. So each level deserves a particular degree of respect and honor because those positions in the military are earned. And if you've ever been on a military base or been in the military, you always salute your superior officers. If they walk in the door, you salute them. If you pass them in a hall or any place like that. Well, it's easy for people to get those concepts, you know, in everyday life or in the military or even in a business type environment. But when it comes to spiritual things and to the church, people for some reason have the notion that, well, we all equal. No, God has gifted us different people with different gifts, different talents, and different abilities, different anointings. And when you respect that anointing and honor that anointing, what's on that gift, it'll come on you because of your honor. But if you disrespect it, well, then now you're, like I said, you're discrediting and you're crippling your ministry and whatever God wants to do in your life because of dishonor. But we're looking today at how to build honor. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. I'm going to read that again. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. I'm going to start by giving you an example of a situation happened at work a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, it was the week right after Christmas. I went back for a couple of days and I happened to go into a maintenance coordinator's office. I knew the guy real well. He's a Christian. And he was talking with another Christian who was in there. And it was somewhat of a debate because they were debating over a particular ministry that was believing God for a plane, a jet, valued at several million dollars. And the one guy, he said he didn't understand and couldn't figure out why a ministry or a man would need a plane valued at you know, such a big price, you know. And I stood there and I did what I needed to do, and I was just asking God for wisdom. And I'm a leapfrog into wisdom from this scenario. And as I was listening to him talk, the Holy Spirit, one thing I've learned to do, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, you know, and slow to wrath, and allow the Holy Spirit an opportunity to kick in so that whatever you say is going to be seasoned with salt, and that the Holy Spirit can now use you to minister grace to the hearers. And so after about a minute or so, I said, let me just share something with you. I said, one thing you got to recognize, we got to get local ministry out of our minds. Now, if you got a local ministry and a local congregation, you may not need a plane, but when you talk, and the Bible says, number one, to go where? To all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, it's going to be hard to go into all the world if you don't have transportation, you know. And he said, well, what about, you know, all these different airlines? I said, well, there are certain places the airlines go that people are. You know, you got certain third world countries that you might not have airports or major hubs where you can fly into, you know, but when you have your own private plane, you can fly into a local BLO or a smaller runway or smaller facility and get where you need to be quick, fast, in a hurry, and not be on nobody's schedule. And so I begin to just share these things. I don't want to belabor this, but then the Lord showed me this. He says, and he agreed with me. I said, a man of God who's ministering under the anointing and God is using him, he has actually a higher position than the president of the United States. And the guy agreed with me. I said, well, the president got a jet. And he said, yeah. I said, well, what a minister is doing is actually more valuable. I said, you know, they are saving people's lives and changing their eternities. Okay, that's you can't get any higher position than affecting a person's eternity, and not just a person, but hundreds and thousands of people. And so he agreed with me on that. I said, well, if the president can, and we don't have a problem with that, we shouldn't have a problem with God blessing his men and women of God with the transportation they need in order to get the gospel out. And anyway, I shared this because one way to build honor is the first way, actually, is to believe God, Lord, that I walk in wisdom. Wisdom is the first way that honor is built in your life. Because without wisdom, the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. You know, in all thy getting, get understanding, but you need wisdom. You need godly wisdom, because without that, you're looking at things from a natural perspective, and you're not letting God speak into your life about a particular situation. So the first way to build honor is to walk in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 16 says, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof the gain thereof is more than fine gold. So a man who's seeking after wisdom is somebody who's seeking after something that's more precious than gold, that's more precious than rubies, that most is a precious commodity, simply by the fact that wisdom will bring you into honor and riches. You know, a lot of people may seek after the riches, but when you seek after godly wisdom, God will lead you into honor. He will lead you into prosperity. It also goes on to say, she is more precious. It's talking about wisdom. This is verse 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. Then it says in verse 16, length of days are in her right hand. So in wisdom's right hand is length of days. God can show you through wisdom that your days may be prolonged. He can give you understanding about things you need to do health-wise, exercise-wise, that'll prolong your days. So length of days are in her right hand. And in her left hand, the Bible says that riches and honor are in her left hand. So in the hand of wisdom, when you believe God for wisdom, God says that the wealth will come and honor will be there. And so, as I stated earlier, the number one way to build honor, or the first key area, is wisdom. About two Sundays ago, I was a situation that had taken place, and I was asking God, Lord, what do I need to do about this particular situation? I'm not going to go into detail about it. My wife and I, we were talking about it, and in our conversation, she said, well, just ask God for wisdom. And I said, yeah, I need to ask God for wisdom. And we were driving to go and going to get something to eat. And while I'm sitting up in the car, my phone rings. Person, you know, on the other end starts sharing with me something. And exactly what I needed to know came through that individual. From word for word, everything that I needed. I mean, it came in a matter of 2 minutes. And all I did was say, yeah, I need to ask God for wisdom. I had been seeking and just kind of pondering a situation, and I didn't know how to proceed properly. But in a matter of minutes, the phone rang, and exactly what I needed to hear, exactly what the missing link to what I needed came. God sent it through a person by calling me up and just saying it in a jokingly manner, but what he said, you know, really confirmed what I was feeling in my spirit, you know. So wisdom is that type of thing that is intangible, but at the same time, it'll cause tangible things to come to manifestation in your life, because it's God speaking to you, giving you the advice, giving you the direction, the correction that you need, that when you take heed to these things, it can change, transform your life, transform your ministry, transform your marriage, whatever, your finances. You know, I was telling my wife earlier today, years ago, I used to do photography, and I had put it down and I hadn't done much with it. But here recently, the Lord's been telling me to pick my camera up again. So every chance I get, if I go to a function, I like to take pictures. And so I'm getting back in the swing of something that I did maybe 15 or 20 years ago. But it's hearing God's voice, obeying it, and flowing in the wisdom of God. So let's move on. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 5, we're going to be talking a little bit about wisdom. One of the things I want to point out too about wisdom, in order to build anything, you need a solid foundation. When you're building a house, any structure you build, you want to build on a solid foundation. Wisdom is a solid foundation that'll build honor in your life. And that honor will stand strong, because wisdom is a pillar that's going to cause that building on that structure of honor in your life to remain solid. Amen. And in James, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or diverse tests and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be wanting and that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So the only way to get the wisdom we need is we have to first ask. We got to ask God. And we got to believe God, that God's gonna provide the wisdom we need in every situation of our lives. It is important to pray for wisdom. It is important to believe God, to open up understanding and knowledge to you, okay? In Proverbs chapter 2, I'm going to read excerpts from Proverbs chapter 2. I'm not going to read all of it because it's a long proverb. But it starts off saying, my son, if thou will receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. So here it's not just a passive thing. But you're crying out, Lord, I just thank you for understanding. I thank you for knowledge. I thank you for revealing yourself to me. I thank you for revealing your plan and your purpose for my life. Every major decision that I've ever made in my life that I've asked God for wisdom, God has always come through and gave me more than what I was asking for. Last week, I talked about Solomon a little bit. You know, the Lord told Solomon in 1 Kings, he said, you know, what would you desire? What would you want for me? And Solomon could have asked for anything. He said, Lord, you put me in front of so great a people that you've made me king over your inheritance, over the people. I said, I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to come out. You know, he says, grant unto thy servant an understanding heart, that I may know how to judge good from evil, right from wrong, that I may know how to judge thy people. And then then God says, you know, because you asked me for this, for wisdom, principally he was asking for wisdom when he said, give me an understanding heart. So I'll know how to, you know, how to be the king that you want me to be. One of the things I'm learning more and more, and actually day by day, the more you walk in humility, the more you recognize it's not your strength, it's not your mental ability, your IQ, your education, all of those things do help, but it's how well and how much confidence and how much trust and how much you yield to and depend upon God. Because he's our strength. But you see, when you go out and you're ministering or you're working for God in whatever capacity, whether it's ministering in song, praying and being in a band or an altar worker or whatever position, whatever ministry of helps, or if you're a pastor of a church, evangelist, you know. But anyway, when you learn how to yield to God, and recognize, Lord, when I pray, I say, Lord, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I know I'm going to fall flat on my face because I'm yielding totally to you, because every step and every word that I say, I want it to be seasoned with your presence. I want nothing of me to come out, but I want all of you to come out. Everything that you might have taught me, I might have learned over the years, I just want, you know, I used to make this illustration years ago, I remember this when I was in college. We had this pulpit, and it was kind of a small pulpit, but it, you know, had a front to it. It was boxed in, and I would just kind of bend down, and I said, as far as I'm concerned, I would rather you don't even see me, but just hear what God is saying, you know, one thing I've learned, it's not about you, but it's about you doing the will of God for your life. You know, and what you're really doing is you're getting out of the way so God can get in the way and use you, because now you become a vessel that God's power, God's glory, God's goodness can flow through, you know, and it's all about yielding to God. And like I said, asking God for wisdom so that all that God is can come forth in your life. All right, I want to also read a few more verses from Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God." So you got to seek after wisdom. You got to search for it as a hidden treasure. You know, and you got to wait upon God that God will grant you that wisdom that you desire. It says, "He keepeth the path of judgments." This is verse 8, "and preserve the way of the saints." God will preserve your way. When you ask God for wisdom, the word preserve means to keep your way not only safe, but when you're preserved, if you think about fig preserves or pears, when you put those pears or that preserve in a glass mason jar with that metal ring or lid and the lip and the lid on it, and it seals it, and you put it in it when it's hot, well then all of the air is out of it. And so there's no contaminants, no bacteria, nothing that's in there. And once it cools off, it forms a vacuum in that jar. So nothing can come in. And as long as that jar stays tight, those preserves, my grandmother used to make preserves, fig preserves and jam and all kind of stuff every year. And it would stay in her cupboard for years. Whenever I'd go, she would give me, you need any more fig preserves? She'd reach up there and pull one in. And the date would be 3 or 4 years ago. But when I open it up, it's just as fresh. But now there was a few of them that wasn't tight. And when they're not tight, that first layer that you'll see decay or where those figs started to turn, you know, but you take those off, the rest of it is good. And, you know, I'm using that illustration because it says that he keepeth the paths of judgment and he preserves the way. God's going to preserve you. You know, God wants to preserve you. Will you stay fresh? You know, preserve you from contamination that's in the world. You know, and you see, it takes godly wisdom to stay preserved, to stay fresh. Amen. All right, let's move on. Verse 12 of Proverbs 2. It says, "To deliver thee from the evil man and the man that speaketh forward things." Verse 13. Who leads the path of unrighteousness and walk in the way of darkness. There's always going to be people in your life that's going to try to lead you astray, you know, and keep you from the path that God has ordained for you to be on. That's why I always encourage single people, you know, seek God for the right mate. And not what you want, but what God wants. I'll never forget. I'll share this. One of the main reason I met my wife was because I was praying one day and I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I just thank you for the perfect mate." And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, "Begin to develop the life of God that's on the inside of you." He came from a verse of scripture in 1 John. He says, in him is life and the life is the light of men. He said, begin to develop the light that's on the inside of you. You know, and when you begin to develop that light, well, then God's going to lead you into the path that you're supposed to go. And in other words, he told me, he said, "Don't worry about seeking a mate." He said, "Seek me. Seek me, because I know the desires of your heart. If you seek me, well, then I'll give you the desires of your heart." And so I just left that alone. And I'll never forget, about a year later, maybe, a friend of mine was going to pick up a young lady from the airport. He said, "I'm going to pick up Robin." And I said, "Oh," he said, "you want to come?" I said, "Not really." And then I said, "Okay, I'll come." And when we picked her up, we were leaving the airport. I'll never forget this. As she was talking, and she was just talking. She had co-op. My wife had co-op that semester. And she was just talking about a co-op. But it was more what she had been learning, because she was a part of a ministry while she was there. And she was just saying all the good things that she had how she had grown. And you could see growth on her, you know. And then all of a sudden, while she's talking, the Lord spoke to my heart and says, "Have you considered my servant Robin?" And I said, "No, Lord, I'm saying this to myself. Am I supposed to consider her?" You know, but he didn't answer me back. But God will make you an offer, but you got to accept it. He'll make you an offer, you know, and because he knows what you need. Now, in the next 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating 34 years of marriage, you know, of happy marriage, in ministry together. You know, my wife, for people who on the internet, you know, she's working the camera. She's keeping me on, you know, everything we do as a team, you know, why? Because putting God first, you know, putting, and you see, when you do that, God will honor you, you know, he'll honor you when you put him first, you know, I mean, I can go on and on. I know this is not a class on how to get your mate or anything like that, but it's wisdom. Yeah. You know, God will give you the wisdom you need in every area of your life. Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to move on now. Okay. The next one is humility. Number two, the second way to build honor is humility. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." That's Proverbs 15 and 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You know, that word fear is a reverential fear. It's a respect and an awe for God. It's not a scary type of fear, but it's a reverence. You know, I respect God, and I'm not going to do anything that's going to be displeasing to my Heavenly Father. So it's a reverential awe for God. Humility, listen to this. Humility is the sum total. Now, the author uses the word spirit in this passage, but I actually changed it to soul, and I'm explaining why. I'm going to read it. I'm start reading it now. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul, not their spirit, to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and anointing totally to God. Okay, so humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God. Your spirit is already submitted to God because your spirit is perfect. We've been learning that through our apostle. Our spirit wants to serve God. When I got saved, there's nothing else I wanted to do. But the minute you I'll never forget, once I started working for the first 2 or 3 years, I got involved in the natural everyday affairs of life, which wasn't wrong, but it'll stray you away from God's mandate if you're not careful. You know, you never want to let anything stray you away from what God has spoken to your heart. Even a job, you know, there have been times I've gotten job offers because of presentations I did for my job. They wanted to move me into sales. I think I talked about that last semester. But the Lord says, I didn't call you to go to Kansas to be in sales. You know, in other words, I called you to be right here. And so you have to humbly submit to God's will for your life. Because if not, it'll throw you off base. But anyway, getting back to this verse of scripture, it's our souls that needs to humbly submit. Humility is a sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit, because the problem, as we know, is a soul problem. When your soul, which consists of your mind, your will, your emotions, your consciousness, when your soul is not completely and totally renewed to where it's in line or it's in alignment with your spirit, your soul may want to drift off in another area, you know, and it's not in alignment or agreement with your spirit. And because of that, there's a conflict and you won't do the things that you would or that you should in reference to what God has called you to do. So when your soul is in alignment, then it says humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit totally. We want to submit totally to God. Lord, whatever it is that you have called me to do, I want to submit totally to that. Amen. All right, let's move on. Your soul, your gift, your talent, totally submitted to God, humbly or in humility, helping to submit to God's will and God's call upon your life. That's the sum total of humility. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your gifting, as it is submitting to God. Then I also have a side thing that I wrote earlier today. Humility is yielding your will to God. When you yield your will, a lot of people look at humility as a weakness. We're going to look at this. The Bible says that Moses was a very meek. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Even when Aaron and Miriam came against Moses because Moses had married the Ethiopian woman. Moses married a black woman, and it kind of rubbed them the wrong way because they were brothers and sisters. And Miriam said, you know, I spent all this time interceding for you, Moses, watching over you when you were put in the river. I was there. I went, you know, when the queen found you, I recommended, you know, our mother to be your nanny. And so, you know, Miriam says, you know, now you didn't got out of line, Moses. You married somebody out of our race, and you know, and the Lord heard it. But God said, you know, Moses was a very meek man, you know, and the reason why Moses was meek was because Moses, throughout, except for the one incident when God told him to speak to something, and I think he hit it. But Moses fulfilled God's will for his life, and that's humility. You know, that's a meekness of showing strength, because it's not your strength, but it's his strength. See, when you recognize that, Lord, I can't do this in my strength, because even Moses got the assignment, you know, he said, Lord, I can't even speak, much less go before Pharaoh, you know, and the Lord says, you know, hey, I am that I am. And he said, I'm gonna have Aaron do the speaking for you, you know, but everything that came out of Moses' mouth, God backed it up. The reason why was because of his humility, recognizing I'm not doing this in my strength, but I'm doing this in his strength. And anytime somebody think that it's their ability or their talent, well, that's when God, now the author says, now you got to fight your own battles, because, you know, okay, it's your strength. Okay, well, then you handle it. You know, I'm backing off, you know, you the man, you know, you're not trusting in me. So, you know, do it on your own. And so that's why it's so very important that we humbly submit to God. When you submit or walk in humility, you walk in submission and alignment, aligning yourself under the mission and the ministry of another. Now, that's very important. When you submit or walk into submission, you're walking in humility, and you're walking in submission, and you are aligning yourself, because the word sub is the prefix, and that's where you get the word submarine from, which means under. So when you submit to a ministry or a man of God, you're falling under the mission of somebody else, you know, and you're aligning yourself up with that mission, and you're doing that with humility. A person's power must be seen in their humility. When you are weak, you are strong in his strength. When he said, take my yoke upon me, my yoke and my burdens is light. You know, don't do it in your own strength, because you can't do it in your own strength. It has to be done in his strength. Let's move on. The main thing to keep your integrity and your anointing intact is to walk in the spirit of humility around all people. As you grow and as you mature, there are going to be situations that come up for you to get out of line with a person, and get arrogant or get boastful about certain things. But one thing I've learned is just when you walk in godly humility, God, you know, a Bible said that a soft answer will turn away reproof. When somebody, you know, being boisterous and loud and arrogant and obnoxious, you know, but the way I look at it, I don't have to defend my God as far as what he can do to anybody, because what he has done is evident. But what I'm trying to do is to show them God's goodness through me. And when you recognize, you know, because the Bible says that it's our responsibility to instruct those who oppose themselves. You know, if by any means God will give them a spence to repent and to get right. But it's how you respond and how you learn to hear and to submit to God and allow him to give you the insight and the wisdom you need. You never want to get into the flesh. That's one of the things I have here. Because if you walk in the spirit of any other spirit other than humility, you give legitimacy to that individual that's attacking you, and God cannot fight in your behalf. So you don't want to walk in any other spirit, but walk in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not partake of the lust of the flesh. You will not get in anger. You will not let any of the works of the flesh, you know, and that's so very important. One of the things I've learned is just to, Lord, on a daily basis, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your direction. And if God is not saying anything, well, Lord, I'm not going to take a step until you tell me what steps to take, because I need your direction. Amen. All right, let's move on. One other thing I want to say, and I might have stated it already, the more mature you become, the more humble you must walk before God. Because, you know, what you say can hurt an individual, and it's not our intent to hurt, but it's our intent to correct in the spirit of meekness and humility. All right. Number three, walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in heart will create honor in your life. Walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright, I said in heart, but actually in conduct. The third way to build honor is to walk in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. Integrity is the quality of being honest, having good moral principles and values, virtues of righteousness and honesty. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having a good moral principles and values, virtues of righteousness and honesty. Proverbs 26:1 says, the spirit of integrity. This is a verse that talks about it. It says, as the snow in summer, as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. As the snow in summer and the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, foolishness and honor do not run together. So when you're not walking in integrity, you're walking in foolishness. You're walking in presumption, and you're walking in something other than walking humbly and integrity before God. And it says here that foolishness and honor don't run together. The word foolishness has to do with one's inability to walk in the spirit of honor. So you always want to walk in integrity. And when we're talking about integrity, we're talking about, number one, first, moral integrity. As ministers of God and as servants of God, working in the ministry of helps, it's so very important that we have moral integrity. Some of the things I wanted to talk about, that the devil can't trap us up in any type of sexual vice or perversion or ungodliness. In these last days, we're seeing all kind of, everybody's coming out the closet. And everything, you know, it's kind of like, it does, you know, it's, how can I say this? We have to know who we are and know what we stand for and not be. There are times I was telling somebody today, I'll watch TV, and if I see any type of homosexual or lesbian activity on a broadcast, I turn it off right away, because that's very important, because what you're doing is you're guarding your heart. You don't want to expose yourself to nothing that Satan has to offer. Because anything that you see or hear, you got to deal with, you know, because it's an avenue into your heart or into your soul. And so you want to guard your heart, you know, And everywhere you look, there's always something that try to creep in, and are things we see here, no matter where you go. But that's why it's so very important, number one, to be prayed up and to know who you are and to continually, one of the things the pastor has been talking about, the apostle has been talking about, soaking in the word, soaking in the word. You know, I use the illustration, when I was a kid, I used to have Converse All-Stars. I played basketball. And if you had some white ones, the only way to really get them clean was to soak them in Clorox. And I'd get a number two tub and put, you know, several teaspoons or you know, a lot of Clorox in there with hot water. And I just let them soak for 2-3 hours sometime. But it would pull all that dirt away, you know, and as they soak, they kept getting cleaner and cleaner until all the dirt. And matter of fact, when you pull them out, you really don't have to brush them, you know, because that Clorox will clean all the dirt off of them, you know. Well, the word is like Clorox. Think about it. It'll drive, you know, all the dirt. When you soaking in the word, it'll just anything that tries to latch itself on you, that's ungodly, got to go. Because why? Light will always dispel darkness. You know, you're flooding it with the glorious light, and it'll dispel darkness every time. You know, so you know that's the very importance of soaking. But we're talking about integrity. And I was talking about moral integrity, you know, no immoral or ungodly behavior. And we got to take a stand. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 in the Amplified Bible says, it says, so kill, deaden, and deprive of power the evil desires lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all the earthly and all that's earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, all are greed and covetousness, for this is idolatry. So basically what it's saying is, you know, we want to totally get rid of that in our lives and be men and women of integrity. If you walk in the spirit, the Bible says, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. None of this, if we're going to walk in honor, none of this can be, you know, we can't have this in our lives. Lasciviousness, idolatry, anything that you worship or you put before God is an idol. A man can put a car in front of God, you know, a woman can put her wardrobe in front of God. Anything that you give more attention to than you do God, you're idolizing it. A home, anything that you put more attention, God wants to be first place in our lives. You know, I remember times when I would start to, you know, I'd get involved in a hobby or something that I enjoyed doing, and I'd spend a lot of time doing it and was spending less time with God, less time in the Word. The Lord would get on me about it. Sometimes the very thing that I like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I remember I was doing a lot of videography, I had bought some monitors, and I bought two monitors, and within a matter of months, I accidentally broke both of them. And I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? You know, why this stuff is happening? He's, you know, you're spending more time doing this than you're spending with me, you know. And like I said, you know, earlier in when I started ministering, one of the things that the Lord began to do, he said, now you can start to pick up some of them things again, because I've learned to know I'm not going to let anything get before God, get before what God's called me to do, you know, because one thing I've learned in ministry, you want to put first, and when God gives you an assignment, we're going to get to this, my time is running out, but when God gives you an assignment, you want to stick to that assignment, and you don't want nothing to deter you, to hinder your progress, because God sees your destination. you know. But the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to deter you from getting to your destination. And he'll use whatever he can to slow you down or to hinder your progress. But it's so very important that we stay focused on what God has called us to do and walk in that. Amen. All right. Let's move on now. Number four. I want to spend a little time. I got 6 minutes left. Serving. Serving is the fourth way that we build honor. I think that was number three, number four. Serving is the fourth way to build honor. Proverbs 27, 17 and 18 says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man's countenance, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Let me read that again. Iron sharpens iron, so a man's sharpen the countenance of his friends. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. That word wait there means to serve. When you serve your master, your man of God, your pastor, the person God has called you to submit to, within it's saying here that by serving you shall be honored. So the way to build honor is serving. Serving produces honor. As Elijah served Elisha, Elisha served Elijah, we're supposed to serve in that same capacity. Joshua served Moses, and even though Moses didn't bring the children of Israel into the promised land, because Joshua served and he watched everything that Moses did, basically, and the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, now it's up to you, Joshua, to bring him into the promised land. Then he said, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it. In other words, everything that Moses had written, everything that Moses had said, I want you to continue in that path. You know, one of the things I'm learning more and more is it's so very important. There's a lot of ministries out there. There's a lot of blessed ministries out there, but God has always called us to every person to a particular brook. I use the word brook or a brook as a place of nourishment. There's a brook I think it was Elijah when he was running from Jezebel. There was a brook that he brought him to, and he sustained him, and he commanded a raven to bring food to him. There's going to be a place where God has called you where God's going to sustain you. What I mean by that is everything you need is going to be in that ministry, under that man of God, under that anointing that God has called you to. And service is so very important. We always want to serve. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited or serves his master shall be honored. Serving will produce honor. Amen. Okay, my last one, I got about 3 minutes left. Obedience. Obedience and submission is the fifth way to build honor. 1 Peter 3, 6 and 7, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So he's saying here that Sarah obeyed Abraham, but not only did Abraham also honored Sarah, and then he's also saying here that there's a difference between obedience. You got obedience and you also have submission. Okay. Getting to in 1 Samuel where he says to obey is better than sacrifice. You have sacrifice, you have obedience, but then you have submission. But submission is greater, because even if you obey, you can still have a on the inside, you're really not submitted. I can ask you to do something, you obey me, your kids, you might ask your kid, but they're doing it heart-heartedly because, you asked me to do it, but I really don't want to do it. But when you submit, You're totally, you know, your whole being is, you're doing it because you want to do it. You know, you want to willfully submit to the will of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. We want to submit. You want to totally submit to God. And as you submit to God, you know, you're going to produce honor in your life by submitting. And the last thing I want to say, and I'm going to kind of go back to the serving aspect of it. You serve and you continue to serve. There's no timetable on service. You just, you know, when you're called to serve, you never want to put down your assignment. Whatever that is God's called you to do, even though it may not be what you envision yourself doing, if you're given an assignment by your man of God, you want to be faithful to that assignment. You know, until you either get promoted to another assignment or get moved to another assignment, because your promotion is in your service to God. I've been in prison ministry for 22 years, you know, and I've kept, my time is up, and I've stayed with that assignment, you know, but by doing so, God and your man of God, and mainly God, sees your faithfulness. And when he sees your faithfulness, he's the one that rewards you because of your service. Amen? Amen. All right, we'll see you guys next.